morning and welcome to Spring Meadows. We are so thankful to have you here. If you are visiting for the first time, we especially want to thank you for coming our way. And you may have somebody bringing you a book by that just says, we're so thankful you're here and we think you're going to like it. And we hope that you'll come back and see us again soon. As we typically do, we want to say welcome. And I like to start with a smile or two for the week. And this week, I just really had this one slide because they were just all so good. And so, some old, some young, some in between. It's my pleasure. All right, so, see what I did there. Anyway, here is what we have focused on for the last year. We've talked about the idea of, as followers of Jesus, being disciples who make disciples, That's what we're called to do. If you remember some of the last words of Jesus, whether it be in at the end of Matthew's gospel or the end of Mark's gospel, we find him giving this commission to his disciples. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, the good news. Proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. You see, the thing that Jesus ended his earthly ministry to those that had been following him, he gave them the challenge, go and help other people follow me too. You've learned what it was like to follow me by being with me. Now I want you to go and help other people to follow me as well so they can learn what life was meant to be. Now, as we think in this next few weeks, I want us to take this connection that we have looked at throughout this year, connecting with others, the one another's. Brock, you'll be glad to know, today is not a one another. Today is about connecting to God. And we are moving to this idea of not a connection horizontally, but a connection that we have vertically. The connection that we have and maintain with our Heavenly Father. And so I want us to think about this idea for the next few weeks. Spiritual disciplines. Typically, when we think about something that is a discipline, we think about something that is, you're being disciplined, you think, oh, that's not very pleasant. But the reality is, it is something that is always good for us. I want us to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he makes this statement in verse 7 and 8. He's talking about not getting wrapped into silly debates and irreverent arguments, but he says, instead, invest your time in, he says, but rather train yourself for godliness. Whoever thought that our life in Christ would be looked at as a training ground? That what God calls us to do is not just something that naturally happens overnight. It's not just something that comes easy. It actually is going against the grain of the flesh that we reside in. And so if we're going to become more and more like God, we're going to have to be trained in that way. We're going to have to do some things that help to discipline us. And Paul tells Timothy that it kind of parallels to some of you guys that do some physical training, right? Where he makes this statement. He says, while bodily training profits little, he says, godliness is of value in every way, and it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life that is to come. You know, I know a lot of you guys do a lot of running, and I watch runners sometimes. You hear what you caught that? I watch runners. But one thing I've noticed about runners is there's very seldom a face of joy. You know, it just doesn't look like it's in a pleasurable thing, you know? And that's one of the many reasons that I try to have the joy look about me most of the time, but I can't do it with running. But you think about folks that do that. They invest their a lot of time into the training for a race. You don't just jump in and run the race. You train, and it leads up to, and you keep expanding that different interval, and you keep adding length to the race, and you keep doing different things to help you to run the race better. Well, Paul talks about this image. He says, look, bodily exercise is good. Don't get me wrong. It is beneficial. But when you are training yourself for a life of godliness, he says, this is going to be something that not only is going to bless you here and now, but it's also going to bless you forever. This is the one thing that you're going to be able to that will trajectory and cross you beyond the finish line into a celebration throughout all eternity. And so what I want us to do is I want us to spend a few weeks as we go through this month thinking about some of the different spiritual disciplines that God has given us. They're practices that have been part of the Christian faith for generations, but they were designed to intentionally engage Christians and help them to grow closer to God, to deepen their faith and to cultivate more Christ-likeness. And so I want you to think about that. Now remember, these disciplines are not things that are an end in and of themselves. They're not the end. They are a means to an end. And the end is Christ-likeness. Richard Foster, a great author, wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline. He defines spiritual disciplines as the means of receiving God's grace. He says this, disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that He can transform us. In his book, he talks about these expressions, and we'll talk about a few of these over the next few weeks. Ironically, after Thanksgiving, we'll talk about fasting, but that's another story. It's, you know, a little church humor right there, but true story. But these are some examples. Some disciplines are inward disciplines. They're things that you're doing inside of yourself, silent thoughts. You know, you're praying, you're meditating, you're thinking about God's Word, you're fasting, you're spending time in the Word, you're spending time thinking about things to be grateful for. Then there are other things that are outwardly focused. They're living simple life. You know, kind of minimizing everything that kind of distracts our world and spending time alone and serving others. And then there are other things that we do like we talked about last week. The idea of confessing our faults to one another and encouraging one another in the fellowship that we share in the body. There's some things that are inward, outward, and then others that are corporate. But today I want us to focus on, as we think about this week and the week of Thanksgiving, I want us to think about what the power of gratitude looks like in our lives. What is it that gratitude brings to us that transforms us? Is it me, or have you noticed that our world has just kind of gotten a little less grateful? Have you sensed that? It's kind of like there's just certain things are just expected. You know, I'm entitled to so-and-so, so I really don't need to say thank you for what you've done. I'm entitled to this or that, and our world has become less and less grateful. When you go back through the New Testament, you find that God's Word reveals that gratitude is one of those things that ought to just overflow from our hearts. And what happens when we begin and people begin to turn away from God is they begin to see less and less a sense of sharing that gratitude with Him. As a matter of fact, if you look at Romans chapter 1, Paul is writing to those Christians in Rome, and one of the very things that he leads into this incredible list of sinful behaviors that are going on in the lives of people, one of the things that he leads into that list with is this idea. Verse 21, he says that although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, or give thanks to Him. You see, what Paul says is the road to a life that is just void of God in our lives is a certain step back here where we say, you know, I'm just not going to be grateful. I'm going to look at it life and I'm going to say, look, I deserve that. I earned that. This was all me. So today I want to challenge us to think about gratitude. I want to think about what it looks like in our lives. One of the things, as I think back in our worship this morning, as I think back to the time that we spent around the Lord's Supper, and we thought about the communion together, there is a certain perspective to that communion that centers around thanksgiving. Even so much so that the very word for thanksgiving is a word that is often associated with the supper, the Eucharist. You've heard that word maybe before in different circles, and you're kind of like, what does that mean? Well, it's taken from the word that when Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks, that word for giving thanks is Eucharista, this idea of to give thanks and meaning thanksgiving. And when you think of that, he gave thanks for this memorial feast he gave us to share. And it helps us to think, you know, we should be people that give thanks, and we share that with one another. Now, let's start with this thought from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 and 17. Paul, again, writing in Scripture, he gives us this insight as he's bringing this letter to the close. He's challenging these Christians with a list of really strong directives for life. And there in verse 16 and 17, he says, "See to it that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I want you to think about that. Give thanks in all circumstances. How is it that we get to a place where we're able to look at whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in, and we're able to find something to say, God, thank you. Thank you for this. Maybe you've looked at your life and you've looked at situations that you've been in, and you're thinking, what is there about this situation that I could say thank you for? What is there in this scenario I could go, God, thank you? You know, you might be in a car accident or something, and you look and you go, God, thank you that we're okay, that I can get out. Thank you that my car can still drive. I'll tell you a story later. But the reality is, it is something that you train yourself to see. It's something that you train yourself to look at so that in every situation, you find something to say thank you, God, for. And I know you're thinking, man, how can I do that? Every situation is not good. Every situation is not positive. That's right. But I promise in every situation there's something to be grateful for. See, gratitude trains our perspective. James would say in his letter when he's writing, will say to this, that of God and his power, and some of our kiddos are learning the book of James, and I love it. But James 1:17 says this, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, who with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." You see, when we think about where every blessing we have comes from, it helps to train us to think about the goodness of God. I think about the idea, and what Foster says is this, gratitude is not the posture of the body, but the attitude of the heart. That's what matters. You think about how many times in life you've been in situations that have been difficult. I'm reminded of a book that was written by a gal named Ann Voskamp, and it was given to my wife during our time where she was battling her cancer, and it was just a powerful encouragement. And in this book, she talked about how that when she was a child that her sister died tragically, and then as she got older, that those thoughts and those memories continued to cloud her mind, even as she became a mother. And she said a friend challenged her to start a gratitude journal and to begin just daily to think about things that she had to be thankful for. And over the course of the weeks and months and year that she did this, says that she accumulated this description of 1,000 different gifts that she had come to that talked about her gratitude and how it changed her life. The things that she would look at, the ways that she would feel, some of the quotes that she mentioned. She says, gratitude changes everything. To live life to the fullest, I need to take time to see the good. When I think about my personal tragedy, she says, if I stay focused on those things, I would miss all of the other things that God was doing in my life. And there's always something to be thankful for. And then I love this. When I give thanks for the seemingly insignificant, I make a place for God to show up. And I thought that was pretty interesting. It's kind of like I'm opening the door and I'm realizing and inviting God into whatever space, whatever pain, whatever situation, and I'm saying, God, I know you're here. God, I know you care, and I know that you want to help me through, and so I'm inviting you into this place. It was a powerful thought as I contemplated 1,000 gifts. Maybe you struggle with the opportunity or the ability to give thanks in every situation, but I challenge you. It'll change the way that you see things. Not only that, it does. Gratitude transforms difficult situations. I love the verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8, 28 is one of those passages that is constantly a blessing for me. And I think about it on a regular basis. And it says this, and we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. I want you to think about that. We know in all things that God is working. It doesn't say that everything that happens in my life is a good thing. But what it does say is that in everything that happens, we have a God who is constantly working those things together. It reminds me of the little kid who came up on stage one night in front of packed Opry House, and this concert pianist was getting ready to perform. And this kid snuck out of the seats like some of your kids might do occasionally, never, and kind of wandered up onto the stage, and everybody's just sitting out in the audience waiting on the show to begin. And this kid starts playing Chopsticks on this baby grand piano. Dun, 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 and just doing her thing. And about that time, the concert pianist walks out and walks behind her and just begins to play the most incredible melody that accompanied those simple notes that this child was playing. And when they finished, the auditorium erupted in applause. And so many times I think we probably look at our little Thanksgiving or our situations that we're just plodding along through, and we don't recognize the fact that God is able to come alongside of us and create a beautiful symphony with whatever it is that we're going through. We know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Think about Paul and Silas. In the book of Acts, we find Paul and Silas in Acts 16, and they've been arrested and they've been put in prison for preaching the gospel. There in the middle of that cell, they are in bondage, and they find themselves singing and praying to God. They're choosing their attitude in a situation of difficulty. And in the midst, there are people in that cell that are hearing those songs. Not only are there people in that cell that are hearing those songs, there's also a jailer above that cell hearing the singing and the praying. And later in that night, when there is an earthquake and there are doors flown open and the opportunity to escape is there, they do not. And when the jailer calls down in, he's about to take his life because he knows if he loses his prisoners, that those who are in charge of him will take his life for losing those he was in charge of watching. Paul and Silas cry out and they say, "Do yourself no harm. We are here. We're all here." He brings them out and he takes them home with him and he cleans their wounds. And Paul and Silas share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that God's Son came into this earth and died and was buried. He was crucified for the sins of mankind. He was buried in a tomb and he was resurrected. And he said, and he died for you. And as he listened to the gospel, this jailer and his family made the decision to become followers of Jesus. They were baptized in the middle of the night. I often tell folks, as we talk and study, I said, look, if it comes to you in the middle of the night and you know this is what I need to do, call me. It doesn't matter if it's midnight or 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, call me, because that's the most important thing in the world. Paul and Silas baptized that man and his family at midnight. But it all came out of a difficult situation that they had been investing praise and gratitude into the midst of. You see, God is able to work good from whatever situation for those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Not only does gratitude work through difficult situations, gratitude also strengthens our faith. I mean, think about it. As Paul is sitting in a jail cell, he is writing to the Christians in a city called Philippi. This is a different situation, different jail cell, different time frame. But he's writing, and his word to those folks is this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, when I'm in a difficult situation and I see good coming from it, and I'm reminded of the good that God is able, has done in my life and is still doing in my life, it strengthens my faith. When I look back and I count my blessings and I think about how God brought me from where I could have been to where I am today, and I think, God, I want to say thank you. I want to honor you for what you have done and are doing in my life. You see, gratitude strengthens our faith. Not only does it strengthen, I've said that one already, not only does it strengthen our faith, I love that idea that, you know, we live in a culture where there's little regard for gratitude because it is assumed that we have the right to everything. But when we realize it is all from God, it helps us to focus and to give back and to say thank you all over again. Again, gratitude grows joy and contentment in our life. If you look again at Philippians 4, at the end of that chapter where Paul learns and he says, look, not that I am speaking of being in need, because I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, of abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So often we look at that verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and we see it on people's faces in football games, and I think it's good anytime God is praised. But at the same time, Paul's saying, you know, if I'm starving, I can do all things through Christ. If I've got a lot, I can do all things through Christ. If the government is persecuting me like people around the world, guess what? I can make it. I can survive because I can do all things through Christ. If I'm in prison while I'm writing a letter to my Christian friends, I can rejoice because I can do all things through Christ. And what gratitude and thanksgiving and that discipline, and it's called a discipline because it doesn't always just come naturally. You see, it helps to grow joy in our lives. Another thing is this, I think about Matthew and Jesus' teaching when he says, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And he says, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. You see, what happens when we are grateful, When we express gratitude to people, when we express thanksgiving for stuff that's going on in our lives, and we look at, man, I'm so thankful that we've gotten out of the hospital, or I'm so thankful that I'm in the hospital. I've got nurses and doctors that are taking care of me. What a great situation. I mean, you didn't want to be there, but it's a great situation that you've got these people to take care of you. You know, somebody else, you've got other things that you could look at, and you go, somebody looks and says, how can you be thankful for the fact that you had a car wreck? You go, well, I'm up here, aren't I? I'm walking around. The car's still able to be driven, right? It's all good, you know, and you kind of find ways to be thankful. Gratitude can be a witness to the world. It's not only a celebration of when good things happen. Gratitude is a declaration that God is good no matter what happens. And that's from Ann Voskamp. You see, it's a witness to the world that says, my life is not centered on the things that happen to me. It's centered on the God who is walking through life with me. And I want to recognize and say thank you for all that He's done. It was the 100th Psalm, I believe we might have even read earlier, that says, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I think about that. I think about the opportunity to come into the presence of God and just to say, thank you for all that you have done. For all that you've done. I want to wrap up and kind of close with this idea and some challenges for us. First of all, I want you to think about this. I wish you would start kind of, I know a lot of people journal. Maybe you could just journal on your phone. There's even an app that's called the Journal app, and it's free, I think. What if every day you started the day writing down 5 to 10 things that you're thankful for? And you do that for the next month. Think about that verse, we give thanks to the Lord for He is good. Think about those moments that you look back on and you can say, man, I'm thankful that that experience happened when I was a kid. I'm thankful that this person was in my life. I'm thankful for that Bible teacher that I had when I was a 10, 11, 12-year-old little boy. Can you go back and just write things down that you're thankful for? That's the first challenge. The second thing I want you to think about is, what if in some of your prayers every day, you didn't ask God for anything? All you did was say thank you to Him. And not generic thank you gods, but I mean specific thank you gods. God, I thank you for my mom, and I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful about her, and I'm thankful for my sister, and for this town, and I'm thankful for our house. And not just even that. God, thank you for the view out my back window. Thank you for the opportunity that when I'm driving home from work, even when daylight savings time has killed the last half of my day, thank you that I'm able to watch the sunset. And thank you for the multitude of colors that you spray across the sky every afternoon. What if you spent one prayer and you just dedicated it all to saying thank you, God? What if you worked on, and it's a work on because it's a challenge, but what if you figured out a way and you began to practice gratitude in the midst of your adversity? What if whatever was going on right now in your life that was bad and hard and difficult, and the person that you're dealing with that's difficult at work or whatever the situation is, what if you figured out and you cultivated a heart of gratitude? And you found a way to say thank you, God, in the middle of whatever was bad. God, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but thank you that blank. You found a way to reframe those moments. What if every time you started to complain, instead of complaining, you figured out a way to say, okay, I want to take this, and instead of a complaint, I'm going to pause and I'm going to write down something positive about that situation. I'm going to think about what Paul said, do everything without grumbling or complaining. And instead, I'm going to say, in everything with thanksgiving to God, I'm going to turn this moment into a moment of thanksgiving. What if you begin to not only thank God, what if you became more and more deliberate in saying thank you to other people? I know some of you have received a thank you note before, and you look back and you go, oh, that's pretty cool. That's nice. How does it change when people have extended gratitude your way? How does it affect you? Gratitude is a powerful gift that God has given us. And it's here for us. It's not only a response to God's grace, but it's the very pathway through which God's grace is given, Richard Foster said. I love this from Dallas Willard when he said, the first act of love for God is thanksgiving. Gratitude anchors our soul in His reality. I wonder this morning if you've looked at what God has done for you. If you've looked at the goodness of God in Him giving His Son for your life. In Him, through that, offering us a forgiveness that we could never achieve for ourselves. Not in just offering His own Son, but in actually becoming one of us. I mean, in what situation around the world, that's the thing that makes Christianity different. God didn't say, you do everything you can to come up to this level with me. What God said is, I'm coming down and becoming one of you so that I can provide you a way to be with me because of love. You see, we've got so much to be thankful for. This morning, as we close, I extend the invitation. It's always open, whether it's at 3 in the morning or midnight or right now. Whether it's to pray with a brother or sister that cares about you that's in this room, as you share something that's going on in your life and you ask for help and prayers. Or maybe it's as you come to a moment in time when you look at your life and you realize, without Jesus, I'm nothing. That the only thing that can cleanse my soul is the sacrifice He paid for at the cross. And I want to respond to that. I want to embrace that. I want my life to be covered in His mercy. If we can help you to follow Jesus today, that's what we're here for. That's what we want to do. We are so thankful that you've come. But as we sing this song, if you have a need that we can help you with, we want to invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.